Hi everyone, welcome back to Foreign and Film. And today, pinch me because I still don't believe that it actually happened. I am bringing you my review of Dune Part 2, or Dune, however which way you want to say it, Part 2, a whole week ahead of its actual UK release and worldwide release, because I was very, very fortunate enough to get to go to my first multimedia screening. I made the trip down to London into Cineworld's Leicester Square, and I sat 2 rows from the back, slap bang in the middle of the row, to see it on IMAX. I'm not in my usual setup. I'm not in the usual cupboard. I am in a quite small hotel room in London. I couldn't not pass up the opportunity to go and watch this early. I've been waiting what feels like an eternity to actually get to one of these screenings, and I'm so glad that I was able to do it this time. You've got the hustle and bustle of London just out through the window, so if you hear something, there is a helicopter whizzing around and all that kind of stuff. But to set up the film, so Dune Part 2. Now, obviously, it follows straight on from the set from the first film. I remember watching the second film in the IMAX and thinking, is that it? And then remembering, oh, hang on a minute, it's because it's part of a series. So to give you a synopsis, the one that the studio have sort of put out there. So Dune Part 2 will explore the mythic journey of Paul Atreides as he unites with Shani, I believe, and the Fremen while on a warpath of revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the known universe, he endeavours to prevent a terrible future only he can foresee. Because in the first film, Timothée Chalamet's character of Paul starts getting a lot of different visions and things like that, things that we are beginning to try and figure out, trying to patch together. He sees Shani quite early on through one of these visions before he actually meets her in person. And where do we then go with these visions moving forward? Now, when I say that it sort of picks up from where the first film left off, it does exactly that. And just to sort of refrain from anyone worrying right now, I'm not going to spoil anything about the film. I'm not doing a spoiler review. This is a 100% spoiler-free review. Actually, having said that, no spoilers from me, but the thing that kind of bugged me or irked me is that after the first round of screenings that happened, when the premiere happened around about this time last week as I'm recording in London, I think it was Total Film were one of the ones that I saw it. They broke the news that a certain actor was in it, which I feel like was a bit spoilery because I wasn't expecting that anyway in the first place. And then the poster itself of the film, I think gives away a couple of different plot points. And they're not, I wouldn't say the huge things. I wouldn't say that the sort of, if you know about it beforehand, it's going to ruin the experience for you. It's more to do with character motivations, where characters tend to go, their development, and even some characters returning from the first film as well. So I would, if you're going in, I would try and go in as sort of blankly as you possibly can do. But I know that that's getting more and more difficult with things like this, to be fair, moving forward. So we pick up right from where the first film left off. Now, those of you that have seen the first film, you will know that the first film ends with Paul finally meeting Shani after the death of his father, after the fall of the House of Atreides. And basically, he gets taken in by the Fremen. Now, it's not straight away that he gets taken in. Obviously, there's a little bit of conflict there. There's a little bit of, do we trust this person? Do we not? Is he who he says he is? There's a lot of prophesizing in this. There's a lot of prophecies that Javier Bardem's character kind of wants to see come to fruition. And the first thing that took me by surprise that you get sort of straight off the bat is that this has got a little bit more of a lighter comedic tone. Now, that's not to say that any of the dark stuff isn't dark, because it's dark, but there's a bit more comedic touch to it, especially, like I say, Javier Bardem's character of Stilgar, the leader of the Fremen tribe. He's a blind follower. He's following this idea that there is a prophecy, and it must be Paul Atreides who is fulfilling this prophecy, and any which way he needs to follow him along the way. Now, Paul is in with the Fremen along with his mother, Lady Jessica, who is a Bene Gesserit, who is she, again, she has a different motivation to her character, which I don't necessarily want to go into. She has a different thing that sort of comes her way. But it's interesting their relationship. It's interesting the development of the relationship with her, as we find out from the first film, being pregnant and where that leads into this one. To mention the Harkonnens, now, the sort of big thing that happened in the first film is that us wrestling fans will have recognised Dave Bautista in there as Rabban, and he comes up again here. He's got a slightly bigger role than he did do for the first one. Stellan Skarsgård's sort of Vladimir Harkonnen, the big baron, is still there again overseeing stuff, but the newbie for the Harkonnens is Austin Butler's Fade Rather. Now, for me, instantly, as someone refers to him as a psychopath, and instantly you get a scene that shows him as a psychopath. And obviously, it's almost like there's your character development done. With where we end up, and again, spoiler free here, I wish I would have seen a little bit more development in that character for this film. I think there's much more that you could do with that character, and much more, especially in a showdown antagonist protagonist. You can tell that I'm trying to skirt around things. Antagonist protagonist showdown. I think as great as a scene later in the film is, I think more could have happened there. So you know, there's like everybody's in this. So Zendaya is great again as Shani. Rebecca Ferguson puts in a great sort of supporting performance. Austin Butler again is fantastic. Florence Pugh, smaller role for her. I imagine that's only going to get bigger if we eventually get Messiah, and with just the way that I'm feeling right now, coming off the back of it and watching it, I really hope that we do get Messiah, because Dune Part 2, however you want to say Dune or June, is the finest crafted film that you are going to see all year. And I mean that from a production standpoint, set design, production design, costume design, her makeup, all the attention to detail, all that kind of stuff. I say that from a stunt perspective. I say that from a performance perspective. I say that from an original score perspective. Hans Zimmer, once again, the cinematography by Greg Fraser again. And I say that mainly from a script perspective. Because if you can get an audience, a mainstream audience, following as many different families and houses and surnames and all these different tribes as well as you can do, it sort of beggars belief sometimes, in that at any certain point, there's no question as to who is a Harkonnen, who is a Bene Gesserit, who is a Atreides or former Atreides, who is Fremen. Now, obviously, there are certain visual motifs, certain sound motifs, some even aesthetic motifs that help that along the way. But we can follow it very well across the film and across its narrative to make that quite easy to understand. And obviously, some of that comes in from the first film. Now, every now and again, on Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo's take or Wittertainment, whichever one you want to refer to it as, they would get a question that would say something like, I haven't seen the first one. Do I need to see the first one to watch this one? And for Dune, I'm going to say yes, 100% you need to watch the first one. I don't know why you would go into part two having not seen the first one, because it is very much a part two. There's a difference between a straight sequel and a part one and a part two. This is a part. This is an addition to the thing that came before. Now, if I'm being nitpicky, because there's so much hyperbole out there for the film, there's so much out there sort of saying it's fantastic, it's fabulous, it's one of the best second films or sequels since Empire Strikes Back, since The Dark Knight, all that kind of stuff. And if I'm being picky, purely to be nitpicky, yes, the spectacle is there. Yes, the spectacle is stunning. The room shook whenever certain sounds hit, and it looks as grand scale filmmaking can possibly look. But I feel like I'm not going to appreciate all of these films until I see all of these films. In that, with the first one, I loved the setup of the House Atreides. Like, Oscar Isaac was my favorite character and actor in that film. And in this one, you spend a lot of time setting up the Fremen, which we already know about, but we have to set up how Paul is being able to sort of, not infiltrate, infiltrate is the wrong word, but sort of get accustomed to them and their ways. Now, I honestly think that should the third one come around, which I believe is going to be referred to as Messiah, like I mentioned before. Now, I've not read the book. So Villeneuve has expressed interest in making a third film based on Messiah, the second novel in the series. It depends on the success of Dune Part 2. He reiterated his intentions for a third film that would serve as a conclusion of a trilogy. It feels like a trilogy. It feels like we're yet to have that final ending point, because even this one ends on a what's going to happen now. And I feel like we kind of need to get that to tie everything up. Now, it's been too long for me to remember how I felt after watching Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and then Two Towers, and then Return of the King. Was I this impatient? Was I this stuck up and back up about the fact that it's not a story that I can sort of consume right now? Probably not. Am I being a bit impatient now? Yeah, I probably am. And it's almost in a way of thinking about things like box set culture and binge culture, in that if I wanted to watch the next one, I could probably watch the next one if it was a series or something like that. But instead, your patience is going to have to be rewarded, and you're going to have to sort of wait it out. And that is a nitpick. It is a nitpick, because there is nothing that this film doesn't do well. All the characters hit. All the performances hit. Every technical aspect hits. The thing I'm intrigued by is the awards. And we know that this should have been released in October. Then it was delayed till November. And then because of the strike, it then got delayed until now, until March. And as I record this and as I talk, we've not yet had the Oscars. And I'm assuming it means that Dune would be eligible for next year's Oscars in that certain release window. But it just feels way too early. It feels way too early to be one of those films that is going to be up for contention for it. But I can't imagine, again, things like production design, costume, I can't imagine those things getting overlooked when it gets round to it. So I'm very intrigued to see where things go from there in terms of an awards point of view. But again, in terms of the film, if you enjoyed the first one, you're going to love this one. Some of the set pieces are just awe-inspiring. And like some of the stuff, I mean, my favourite sections of it, and again, I wish I could see more of the Harkonnens, were the Harkonnen sequences, in that the aesthetic changes and the way that they do that and the way that they deliver that is superb. And it's one of the, like I say, it's one of the finest made and crafted films that you are going to see all year. So Dune Part 2 hits cinemas on the 1st of March. That's next Friday as I record and release this. Can't believe I'm saying that. Can't believe I got to see a film this big that early. So 1st of March, next Friday, worldwide and in the UK. I highly, highly recommend that you go and give it a go if you love the first one. If you haven't seen the first one, watch the first one and then go and watch this. It's everything that cinema is made to be and more. And the hyperbole is there, and the hyperbole is correct, and the hyperbole is well placed. And this is going to go down as a trilogy that is up there with the things like Lord of the Rings. And it's just, it's world beating. And It was great to see it, and I'm very glad that I did, and I'm very glad that I got to see it when I saw it and how I saw it. So, thank you very much for watching. Thank you to Warner Brothers, the publicity of Warner Brothers, for letting me come down to London and go and watch this and record in a very, very small hotel room. That's a single bed behind me that's calling my name, because it's about 10:15, something like that. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Go and see Dune 2 when it comes out. Stay safe, look after each other, and I'll see you next time.